again. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day, for life and health and strength, for Will and Norman being here, myself too, Lord. We pray for all those that are sick and can't be here. Miss Monica and Ling and Frank and Christy and Taylor and Pat and Steve. And Lord, for all those that have been and gone, we just thank you for them and their time together. But Lord, pray that you would put your good hand upon them even now. Please bless our time in your presence. Please use it, Lord, as a time of ministering to us. Please accept of our praises. And Lord, we pray for consideration of our prayer requests and petitions, especially the private ones, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for everything. Pray your good hand, especially upon Taylor at this time. She grieves the loss of her granddad. And Lord, you know. We love you and thank you. And pray that you would be with us. And ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Right, let's go to the wee black books here. And we'll start with number 13. Number 13 is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
I am safe on from the book of Colossians. Sorry, the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Amen. Marks, I would have turned it. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudaeus, and beseech Syntyche, and they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both now to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, and ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessities. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound in your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus things which are sent from you, an odour of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Well, good morning. I have a card here for you. Don't go without it. From Monica and me. Just going to say, if anybody wants the heat on, put on the heat. But we're just sitting up there at the front, thinking I can do it a wee bit of heat myself this morning. Yeah. Amen. Just want to remind you all to make sure you get one of the wee green prayer lists, and extra to what is actually printed on it. We'd appreciate your prayers for Monica still. She is still pretty prolaxed from chest infection, I think a stomach infection or gastro something infection, and the tablets don't sit with her well either, so she's getting hit three or four different directions. Please do pray for Will's granny as well. That's Mary Ann. She took quite ill there on Thursday evening, wasn't it? So everyone was quite concerned about her, but she seems to be back in form again now. So please do pray for Mary Ann. And I'd also appreciate your prayers for the Christian Institute at this time and the work that they do. Pat and Steve had a request for the Curry family. They had the death of a grandson this past week. And goodness. And Steve keeps an eye on things going on in the schools, and he's requesting prayer for school children. We would do well to remember all of that as well. So please do. Don't forget to pray for Lynn and Frank and Dr. Shine. They'll be travelling in Greece until Tuesday. Pat and Steve. Steve doesn't be fit in the morning, so he's not quite with us of a morning again, but he'll be out this evening. And we were glad to have Taylor back, but please do pray for her and Christy as they mourn the loss of a granddad. So please do remember them at this time too. Glad too, we heard that Marky, wee Marky, who's not so wee anymore, got a job. So that's him taken care of for his year out and first experience of industry, doing the world of good. I think that's about that. Well, would you just leave us a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song, sir, if you would.
Dear Father, thank you still, Lord, and thank you for taking care of us and looking after us over the past week, Lord. Give us this today, Lord, go over and over, Lord, as he's never had this covered in each other, and how she'll represent us both, not only in service today, but also, Lord, for those that are listening on the CD, Lord, as well, Lord. Bless us and keep us, Lord. Ruth Taylor, Lord, the comforter, she mourns her grandfather, Lord, must be tough, Lord, and Ruth, the household, Lord, and Lord, save souls, man, and do something that's good for this situation, Lord, as well, Lord. Ruth, now, Lord, deliver from any trouble, Lord, and deliver from anything, Lord, and provide for them to keep them as well. Ruth, now, Frank and Dr. Shine, Lord, as they travel, Lord, and the holiday, Lord, deliver from any trouble, give them mercies, and provide for them to keep them look over them, and keep them close to thee, Lord. And Lord, see Carl, John, and Stephen, Lord, then pray for them and keep them as well, Lord, and save their souls, Lord. And we've asked, Lord, to take away our pains and our body, Lord, and Lord, stop the phone from coming back on. Pray with her and keep her and bless her and help her and bring her closer to thee, Lord. Pray for Stephen and Pat, Lord, help them heal their diabetes, Lord. And pray for Stephen's illness, Lord, and his finger and his all conditions, Lord, pray with him as well. Take away the pain, take away the discomfort, Lord, and keep him safe and well, and bring him at the church next point of time as well, Lord. And pray for Monica, Lord, healer, Lord, deliver from any trouble, Lord, and stop any complications or allergies popping up, Lord, and heal, Lord, and bring him into your presence next point of time for that honor, for our Lord. Bless this day, Lord, and give Mark the quickness for our Lord, and we will forgive us and give us a good lesson from your word, Lord, for thy honor, for my glory, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our big hymn books again, if you would. Big hymn books, and turn to hymn number 280. 280 in the big hymn books is Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Called.
Calling for you and me.
finish off this part of the service with 137. 137, that's in times like these. And if you're fit, we'll stand. And if you're not, just remain seated. Chapter 3 and chapter 4, there's like a dozen and a half verses in it, give or take, and I'd like to spend a little bit of time on the subject of time. Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4, a lot of good stuff, prophetic things, things that the Lord said were going to happen, and we know that only a page or two later did actually happen, but we're speaking on the subject of time, and we're starting in Malachi chapter 3. The word of God said, through Malachi to the children of Israel and to us, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them with gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near unto you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed ye? Thee, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. Ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept this ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness rise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. Christy, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer there, if you would, brother?
This day, for your goodness, Lord, we thank you most of all for salvation, Lord. In advance of this portion of your word being read, Lord, and expounded to us, ask and pray and bless upon that. Lord, that you work in each heart here, be with our absent brethren, Lord. Just by their needs this morning, and touch a healing for those that are downcast and sick, Lord. A touch of comfort for those that are grieving, Lord. And a touch of respect this morning, Lord, for those that are just feeling like they're fighting the battle alone, Lord. Please be with them as well. Be with Leonard and Anna, Lord. Be with Pat and Steve this morning, for Dyke and Frank and Dr. Shang as they travel as well. Lord, just deal in hearts and minds, accomplish your will here, Lord, and in each church, Lord, let's meet together in your name. We ask and pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you, brother. All right. It took a while for me to actually get, not interested in Malachi, but really to get to Malachi. I remember it was a few years before I got that far, spending most of my time in my formative Christian years in the Gospels and, of course, in Revelation then, and a few of the Old Testament the likes of Psalms and Isaiah and one thing and another. But I have found in these last few years that Malachi is actually a very important little book. It's the last words of the Lord to the children of Israel at the time. Then the next time, the Lord himself comes back 400 years later, and he starts to set in place all of the prophecies that apply to him from these portions of God's word, from Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4, where he said, I'm going to send my messenger, talking about John the Baptist, to prepare the hearts of, at the very tail end as well, to prepare the hearts of all of the children of Israel that are prepared to listen, to turn the hearts of the fathers, as it says, to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, to turn people to God. And that is why whenever the scribes and the Pharisees came to John the Baptist, they asked him, "Are you Elijah?" Because it says, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord." And just a very, very brief overview of this, two chapters of God's word. There's a lot in it. And the Lord is quite literally preaching from the beginning until the end, or from here until the end of time. And he speaks to the people and basically says that any soul can be saved. The Lord's coming. He's coming with, what does it say there in verse number 2? He is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he'll sit as a refiner and a purifier. He's come to set up the children of Levi. This was the priesthood. And we know, because we have the benefit of, goodness, nearly 2,500 years of hindsight, that he came not just to work on the children of Israel, but on us as well. He came to make us priests and kings, to be his royal priesthood, to be the souls that minister to the lost around and about us. The Lord goes on to say that even though you constantly stray, even though you constantly dig your heels in whenever I ask you to do things, he said, look, if you turn to me, I will return to you. And that has always been the way. The Lord doesn't take umbrage at folks for the sake of taking umbrage at folks, but there is judgment, there is punishment, there is hardship, there is heartache whenever you operate outside of the two rails that the Lord gave us. Even in years gone by and generations gone by, when people followed God's laws, which they used to, it didn't save them, but it made them better citizens, better husbands, better wives, better sons, and better daughters. Because that's what the word of God does. You turn to me, God says, and I'll turn to you. And who doesn't want God on their side? The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, it tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? So it's worth remembering. It goes on to say that even now at this point, in the 400 years before the Lord leaves everything that the children of Israel need and doesn't call another prophet, doesn't do any more miracles, anything like that in that 400 years, even then people were turning against him. And he says as much. He says, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. He says that you constantly, just like it said in Psalm 2, why does the heathen rage, and why do even the people imagine it being things? Why do the kings and rulers set themselves, puff themselves up? And God says, this is even happening amongst my people right now. You're asking stupid questions like, how are we better off serving the Lord? Well, you've got your mind when you serve the Lord. You've got a noble purpose that will satisfy the soul when you serve the Lord. You've got the word of God to comfort your hearts and to strengthen your character, to give you those two rails that we spoke upon earlier on, to run on. You have the assurance of salvation. You have the ministrations of angels. You have the intercession of God on your behalf. Do we need to go on? You know, have the victory. Many times in the Old Testament, God gave people actual physical victories over their enemies whenever they listened to him, whenever they obeyed him, whenever they pursued him. But they said, well, how are we better off? Are people better off recovering from a hangover on Sunday morning, or are they better off in church on Sunday morning? Are they better off reading the Sun newspaper, or are they better reading off the news about the Sun? Are they better off spending their day in Facebook, or spent an hour or two with their face in the book, his book? Of course we're better off. Are we better off going down to the beach and admiring the beauty of God, or are we better coming to church and worshipping the Creator of all of this beauty? Tell me. For all of those souls that have been and gone, for all of those that have chosen a, in quotes, less judgmental, more loving gospel, not one of them, not one person that has crossed my path and gone on to another church is doing better. Not one. And I urge you to consider that the Lord's way is the best way. And he warns us about it. And of course, like so many things in this world, the end results are down to us. Goes on to say that judgment's going to appear sooner rather than later. Most folks that are doing their best to avoid judgment and doing their best to do something else other than what the Lord asks them to do. Judgment normally comes when you're not expecting it whatsoever. If you were even to speak to a lost soul in their 70s or 80s or even 90s, if it came for them then, it would still be far too soon. However, for the Christian, whenever the Son of Man comes, he's bringing judgment to the earth. And there's lots of people going to be crying. We've read about it often enough in the book of Revelation and many other places where the Lord spoke. When the Lord comes, there's going to be judgment. Judgment for the lost, judgment for the Christ rejecter, judgment for every single soul whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but for the soul that's saved. I love this description. But unto you that fear, in Malachi 4:2, that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. How cool does that sound? That's for you and me. There's blessings to be had when the Lord comes. I know we have mentioned of it many times, and at the risk of spending another moment in this portion of God's Word, we will. It's not going to be a good time in this world for lost people when the Lord comes back. There's going to be a global ban on pubs, on whorehouses, on drug dens. There's going to be a global ban on basically everything that's bad for you. There will be angels walking about. There will be people in glorified bodies walking about, making sure God's will is done. Proving that we are immortal and indestructible, and I am sure many's a soul will try and kill you in your immortal body. And if you've ever seen some of those kids' shows about Superman getting hit in the head with an iron bar and the bar bent around his head and he just turns like that, that will happen in the early days. It will be great for the Christian. There will be peace. There will be walking, talking proof of God's power, of salvation, of his resurrection, of all the words that are written in the Bible. And the Christian and the glorified Christian will quite literally be in heaven. But the lost soul will be up in front of the Lord for judgment for so much, and so many of them will lose their lives and step off into an early eternity. The last two verses. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Have you ever heard the old saying that time heals all wounds? They say that. After a while, the hurt, it lessens. It doesn't take it away. A wound still leaves a scar. But the Lord can take the pain away. Now, I know a lot of people would have you believe that it solves all problems too. Makes all of your problems go away. But time doesn't do that. And neither does it change a pool of chemicals hit by lightning into you and me, like a lot of people would have you believe. As we look at these last verses, and bear in mind that it takes a moment for us to flip over, or me, the two pages to zip into the book of Matthew. That's 400, give or take, years. 400 years. 400 years where most of the Bible, about two-thirds or three-quarters of the Bible, was available to man on the face of the earth. Full of everything that those that love the Lord needed. By way of encouragement, by way of prophecy, by way of salvation, by way of direction, by way of God's wisdom, full of everything. Then there was a quiet time. Now, I want for you to remember, man does not need signs and wonders. We don't need people flopping down in the middle of the church. And we don't need people gabbling like a troop of monkeys that are supposed to be speaking in tongues. We don't even need the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. We don't need the fire coming down from heaven and consuming all of those that don't like Jesus. We don't need the earth opening up and swallowing all of those that don't like Jesus. What God's people really need is God's word. In the very same way that when the Lord was preaching and started to get a cut a bit close to the knuckle and started dotting a lot of I's and crossing a lot of T's, and a lot of people walked away because all of a sudden, instead of all the good times and the party times and passing the food around and doing these miracles, it was down to the nitty-gritty of really what makes you and me tick and what's going on in our hearts and how God would forgive that if we would come to him. A lot of people stopped following Jesus. A lot of people just had their eyes on a good time. We remember the words that the Lord said to Peter as he walked towards him, and he said, will ye also go away? It was in John 6. And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. It's the word of God that has the power unto salvation, not just for eternity, but for your life right now. It's not all about thrills, and it's not all about eye candy. It's about getting right with God. Mankind had every single thing that they needed to sort their lives out, to sort the lives of their children, their wives, their husbands, what things that would keep them right, including a clock of whenever the Messiah was going to be coming by. And that was in Daniel chapter 9. And it talks about the 70 weeks of Daniel and how at the end of 69 of those weeks, Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, on an ass, the foal of an ass. There you go. That's what you got to look out for. And just like the Lord said to the disciples before he went up into heaven, he said to the folks in the Old Testament times, occupy until I come. Keep busy. But in just 400 years, those very souls that were charged with keeping the children of Israel right and keeping the preaching going and applying it to their own lives had strayed. Not just strayed, they'd done a 180 and had changed so much that they had actually made a rule. They had actually invented a law that if anybody claimed that they were the Messiah, the Son of God, that they should be put to death. In 400 years, with every single thing that they needed in the Old Testament, that is how much people changed. That was the excuse that the scribes and the Pharisees gave to Pilate and to Herod. We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. How's about that? Even though the last words in their holy book said This is what you got to look out for, and the Son of God will be back. And you know what? The Lord gave us another, in my Bible, I don't know how many pages it is, I go from 1300 right the way up to 1700, another 400 pages of his words, of his experiences here in this world, of the things that he did for us, of fulfilled prophecy, and more prophecy to come. And then he said, I'm coming back. And it's been 2,000 years, and I know things are different. He gave us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He gave us the assurance of salvation. He gave us a direct line to God. He gave us, or reminded us, that we have a Messiah, an intercessor. We have access to God at any time of the day or night. And the warning to trust in the Scriptures, because it's the only place that advocates everybody getting a fair shake. We even have the Word of God in English. My goodness, who would have thought a little island in the middle of nowhere would end up with the most important language on the face of the earth? The one that the King James Bible is written in. And I'm not being too prideful when I say it, I mean that in the right way. And yet, for all of that, the world has deteriorated even more. If you stand up and say you're a Christian, people are immediately pointing fingers at you. There's been so many bad examples of those that are standing up claiming to be Christian. Whole institutions that have been involved in abuse and murder. The Catholic Church back in the days of the Templars raged across the Middle East and brought a hatred and a fear of Christianity to the lands of the Jews. And you know what? The so-called Christian countries of America and the United Kingdom did not treat its people very well at the end of the war either. All of the good things that the Word of God and His children try to do are marginalized and made illegal. And that's in 2,000 years. And in some parts of the world, there's even the death penalty. You know, for those folks without their heads screwed on properly, all that time that has passed has not made things any better at all. We might think, oh, but we are able to support 7.5 or, I don't know, is it 8 billion people in the world at the moment? We can feed them. We can feed them. We don't feed them, but we can feed them. We can see what's happening in any part of the world or hear what's happening in any part of the world. We can send money to just about anywhere in the world that there's a telephone. We can influence things across the world, and yet we don't. But the lost soul, all this that's going on, and time is, this time that has passed, is not going to lighten the load, the sin debt of any Christian by not even one white lie. We know that it's only salvation that will do that. And for the saved soul, it's not going to solve our problems either, just the passage of time. Neither will it accomplish the Lord's burdens for you and me in our life, or indeed anything. Time only, well, it doesn't really do anything except bring us closer to meeting with the Lord. Unless there's a little bit of effort put in our parts, that's the only way it will ever be. But time will bring everybody before the Lord, and everybody's going to hear one or other of these statements. And these are from Matthew 25 and the discussion about the sheep and the goats. It says that he'll say to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Or he'll say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord gave us a very, very precious gift 2,000 years ago in himself, and the completion of his word, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But it's a partnership. And you will only find as the time passes, you will find that if you don't contribute to that, it's not going to go anywhere. It's like any partnership. But whenever you put the effort into it, and whenever you, well, in this case, get to love it, things will go so much better for you. Time is great to have, but if it's wasted, it's good for nothing. And the Lord knows that, and he urges us, he said, to occupy until I come. I want to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Amen. We'll sing a closing hymn. I don't think I have one picked. If anybody has one, I'm more than happy to give us. If it doesn't require my organic music machine, if you have one, shout it out and we'll do our best to sing it.
149, Trusting Jesus.
149. Let's sing that and then we'll be done. Let's stand as we sing. Consider all our private prayer requests and petitions, that you would use this as a time of cleansing and refreshing, that you would very especially be with Taylor and Christy at this time. She mourns the loss of a granddad. Lord, please, I pray, supply us this day our daily bread. We love you and praise you. We're not forgetting our leaders. We're not forgetting Israel, Lord. We're not forgetting our absent brothers and sisters. We pray your good hand upon all of these things. And Lord, we pray that your will would be done. We love you and thank you. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. We are dismissed, gentlemen and lady. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. God bless you.